I robbed the jewelry store there too, Ned.
They're what?
I know, I robbed the jewelry store in Marietta.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. I bet you when you crashed through the doors, you went, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is your moment. Please don't make me look all those beautiful."
No, I kind of went, "Get out, surgeons have been doing." Get out. No.
When you're good, you can just go through the game smooth. It becomes that much more cinematic. You know, it's like a big long film. But like for us, like for me, it's the cutscenes. The cutscenes are the thing for me. The gameplay is the gameplay. I love it. But the cutscenes are what I like. You know, some dude put together all the cutscenes from the whole thing. It was like 7.5 hours.
Wow.
Of cutscenes. And I downloaded it. And believe it or not, I actually watched it. You know, it was like binge watching a Netflix show or something, you know?
It's funny because, you know, I don't even do that myself. I mean, I get to the point, you know, I'm always working. I love what I do. What you said is true. I love working with the young guys. I got these young guys in Boston.
Yeah.
They're go-getters and they're smart. And I got Nick. I got a lot of kids. And just I get the energy out of them, you know? I mean, I got a lot of energy.
Oh, yeah.
It is, you know? But these kids got the energy, too. So... And when they're good at something, they like to learn too. You know, one thing I teach
them—they're sponges. They're sponges.
Yeah, they're smarter than us, but they don't have our experience.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
With people in life and stuff of that nature.
And you know, they need to be mentored and guided, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah, it's like it's a huge responsibility if you're working with kids or whatever to make sure that you lead them in the right direction. You know, like I coach little league baseball, like kids baseball, travel baseball and
good
stuff,
for you.
You know,
yeah.
And you know, my son played baseball. So all coming up through that time, it was like, then you're Michael on top of that. Cause my son was 11 when the game came out.
Oh, Jesus.
So, you know, it's been like, you know,
well, you know, there's a couple more questions I have for you there. Of course, a few more, but anyway, how much do you relate to Michael? Because I love the character, and you seem to, like, I don't know if it's just a natural thing, or you must relate in some ways.
I think Michael relates to me. But no, you've got to, right? Right? You've got to relate to it. It's like, that's what acting is. You know, acting is you get a script, and you bring yourself to the script, and you find the marriage between the script and you, and see what works, you know? And I was very fortunate, because, and I talk about this a lot, you know, it's a really, the writers on this thing are just, they're incredible. You know, for us, it was Rupert Humphrey, Michael Unsworth, and then Dan Houser, you know, and those guys, their sense of, you know, how people are and what's funny and all that kind of is incredible. But also, the other thing was they really didn't have a huge ego. In other words, they gave me room to improvise.
That was my next question.
Yeah,
then
they gave me room
did
to improvise.
Did you have leeway
and
kind of,
me to
I hate to say alter or a change. Did you have a input on how the character and things went?
It's funny because the director came to me one day and he goes, you know, Ned, this, you know, at first it was like the game was you know, it was like you were right for the character, you know, and then it was like the character was written for you, and then it's become like you are writing the character, you know, and it's just a transition that you make, you know, like, and it's based on the freedom that you get. You'll work on some things where they go, dude, what are you doing, man? That's not the line. Say the line, and the line might suck, and they want you to say it anyway. I've had plenty of times where I've had to say lines that sucked. These guys, they let me do what I did because they're Scottish, right? They're Scottish. I don't speak. I had to learn a new language, right? English. So it was like I had to bring myself to it. Like, what would I say? You know, like, what would the street Ned say to this? Okay, so I was allowed to change stuff and maneuver stuff as long as it stayed on track. You know, you couldn't just go off in some crazy direction. Well, unless you were.
No, they had a plan.
Yeah,
they
unless you're the guy playing Lamar. He would do whatever, man. And they would just go, oh, that's great. But it was, you know, for me, it was a lot of. I mean, they were typing as I was doing it because I would change things to make it work for me. And only one line that they really came up to me and I couldn't make it work. And they said, you know, and the director came, and I was doing all kinds of to change it and stuff. No, cut. Ned. Finally, he comes up and he says, Ned, they want you to say this line exactly as written. And I went, and I was like, the line sucks, man. What the fuck? What? I can't get the rhythm for it, man. And he goes, trust me on this. This is the line. And you know what the line was?
God.
You forget 1,000 things every day. Make sure this is one of them. Can you believe it? And I'm like, well, I couldn't find the rhythm for it. I couldn't. It was like not working.
That's the greatest line in the
It's the iconic line. And of course, that's why they're rock star. Because they know. They're smart. They go, that's the line, Ned. This is the line. Trust me. And of course, it's the line everybody wants me to say.
Wow.
You know? And I just snuck a pal in there on the first one. So it was, you know, you forget 1,000 things every day, pal. Make sure this is one of them.
One of them. Yeah, and, that's the opening line when you're sitting on the bench.
Like,
you know?
It was like, boom! All of a sudden, the rhythm was there. Because for me, it's like I don't have rhythm, but it's like dancing, baby. I'm like, you know, where is the flow? Where's the thing, you know? And if I can find that, I'm really good. If I can't find that, dude, you're going to be going, this guy sucks, man. How did he 100%. Get this job?
But, you know, Ned, most like, you know, when they make movies, and I have friends in the business, matter of fact, you're lucky to strike. I mean, you know, whatever they did to now, to strike, you know, probably they were gone, done, whatever, the new guys, whatever it is.
It depends. You got to define lucky. I think they fucked us on AI, but.
Yeah. The reason I say that, Ned, is because executive producer of LA Live is a very good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And so I had him on, and he talked to me, and we talked to him. He said, listen, why it's so important to strike people aren't understanding. When you get shows, I'll call it a show, GTA.
Yeah.
If they get into the writers and the actors and everybody get into a flow.
Sure.
That all of a sudden somebody leaves, they got, you know, it's not the same rhythm, and it can throw the whole thing off, and people don't get it. They just think, oh, he's going to get another writer. That. No, you, it's not like that.
Yeah, you see that with you know, speaking of Law and Order, okay, so. What is it? Organized crime, like with Chris Maloney, right?
Yeah.
That thing's had like 4 showrunners. And you see things, it's still a really good show. I mean, like, Chris is awesome, man. But you see you can see like the subtle changes that are happening from the different showrunners, you know, that are going on. So I think it's hard if you don't have some level of consistency. And that's what makes those you know, Wolf Productions so good, you know.
They have that consistency. Law and Order, yeah.
Yeah, they have the consistency. They have, you know, the guys, you know, that are, you know.
Well, it's writers, you know. Like, I just did a show for VH1 called My True Crime Story, and they had a new showrunner had to come in and take over because of, you know, whatever screws up is going on. I mean, I just go there for the show. And, we talk a lot, and we go out. When I go to L.A. or stuff, I'll talk to her. It's a her. And I'll tell you what, boy, do they have it down to a, you know, because you know as well as I.
You have
to. Did they film GTA, like they film a show? Like, did they film things out of order and you know what's going on?
Yeah. Nothing's in order because you know what happens is you could be going on, and all of a sudden they think of something.
Yeah.
We didn't get, dude. Did
you have to go back a lot?
My script's like 3,500 pages. I mean, it's literally this big.
Wow. Jeez.
And we didn't get it. It's not like we had that, here's your script. You know, it was
in a vault.
It wasn't even in a vault. It was the vault was this. It was like Dan and Rupert and Michael's head. That's where it was. So they would go, and I'll give you a perfect example. This was the thing. Like we didn't have green rooms or anything like that. Everybody was in one room. And we'd all eat lunch together. We did the whole thing, right? So they'd bring lunch and we'd eat. I'm eating lunch one day. And, you know, I'd gotten material. Like, let's say it was a Tuesday. I'd gotten material on Sunday. For Monday, Tuesday, you know, whatever. All of a sudden, they come to me at lunch and hand me, you know, this and go, we're going to shoot this after lunch. Really?
And you got to learn it.
It was, it was all the Dr. Friedlander psychiatrist stuff.
Oh shit, I remember that boy. Yeah.
So you're trying to learn this stuff, and I'm fortunate. I'm blessed. I've got a really good memory, but I'm looking at this stuff and I'm going, how am I gonna memorize 18 pages? You know? So I would have to, while they were setting up stuff, I would try to learn it and do it, you know? So there's a lot of, and that's one of the reasons why there was a lot of ad-libbing, by the way, is because, and improvisation is because this stuff was handed to us, like, without warning. Like, we would get stuff with not enough time to learn it and everything. So you had to be on your feet, man. You had to be able to go, you know? And
I'm sure after a while, though, Ned, you got really, like, obviously you got good at it.
I was always good at it. Here's my thing. If something reads well, I memorize it like that. The audition process, a perfect example.
I was just gonna more about that. You actually got, like, you auditioned how many people?
Yeah, I went down to Bernie Telsey's and did the audition. The casting director at that time was Bernie Telsey. And we did the audition on camera, just like a normal audition. And it was the opening scene with the psychiatrist. It was the, you know, your son Jim, he's a good kid, you know.
The guy with the beard.
Yeah. Except for it was with the wife at the time. So I did that thing, and I knew I crushed it, and I figured I was going to get called back, but I didn't hear anything for a while. So, gone, right? That's how you do it. If you're an actor, you can't worry about, you know, am I going to hear from these guys? No. Once you're done, throw it out. That's it. If they call you, they call you. But so a couple months later, I get a call, and it's a callback, right? So I show up down at their offices on Broadway there, and it turns out it's an act-off. We called it an act-off because they had two Michaels and two Trevors, right? So we're in there, and you know, we're all prepared, and they had me reading for both. I was going to read for both Trevor and Michael. They didn't know which they wanted me for. So I was reading.
You don't look like a Trevor.
Well, I don't look like the Trevor now, because the Trevor now is hideous, and I'm actually hot. So
I love it. Hey, listen, not bad. I mean, you know.
anyway, so they had two of us, right? Two of each. All of a sudden, the assistant comes out and goes, and we're all prepared, right? We got the same shit that we prepared for the first audition. And these guys have had 2 months with it, right? So they're cold, man. They got it down, man, the other guys. They come out and they hand us 7 pages and go, this is the material for today. And I the other Michael was like, wait a minute. He reaches into his jacket and he's like, what? At that point it was Albert, the other Albert, reaches into his jacket. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this stuff that we prepared. And she's like, no, we're going to do this material today. That was when I knew I had him, because she handed me the material and I started reading it and I went, oh man, this is good. This is good shit. This is really good. And I saw him panicking and I knew he was done. All I had to do was get it. So it read really well. I memorized it in a heartbeat. And then how it worked was Stephen Ogg, who got Trevor, he went in with this Michael, with the other guy. Boom. Then I went in with the other Trevor, right? And then those two went in together. And we're sitting out in the thing, and I said to Steven, I was like, dude, how was your guy, man? My guy, I didn't feel good. I mean, I didn't have any juice with this guy. I said, I hope you can bring it. And he's like, oh, I can bring it. And I'm like, let's go, man.
I love confidence. Yeah.
I'm like, let's go. And we went in there, and I mean, we literally threw down the scripts, and we went. You know, we stayed on, we were on the pages, but we went and I mean, he went upside my head. I jacked him in the, you know, gave him a chest shot, you know, and, you know, it was like, we were good. Cause it was a scene where we're drawing on each other. And so we did that, you know, and stuff. And they had this one dude he was doing like behind the scenes stuff, you know, filming. And then they had the camera that we were actually acting for. This is the still camera that was there that they were recording the audition for. And you could hear the guy going, oh, you know, like this, oh, you know. And we came out and I was like to Steven, I said, you know, I go, man, dude, I don't know about you, but, well, I didn't say it yet. First we came out and everybody was out there and the director came out and he's from Stoke-on-Trent, you know, UK. And, dude, accent. I mean, he's telling a story. He's telling a story, and everybody's laughing, you know, and not. And I'm just nodding and laughing because I see everybody else doing it. And then finally, I just said, "I said, you know, dude, I gotta tell you, man, I don't understand a fucking word you're saying."
I knew that was coming.
And he goes, and he leaves.
Hey, mate, I didn't
say a fucking word. He just turned and left. And I'm like, uh-oh. Me and my big mouth. You know, I'm with my Ralph Cramden. I got a big mouth.
Hey, you know, the kids that are watching this don't know who Ralph Cramden was. That was my favorite show.
You better look him up. Honeymooners. Best show in history. But anyway, yeah. So we got downstairs, and I was like, you know, to Steven, he was getting on his bike, you know, because he's a Mr. Bike Rider with his helmet and stuff. And he goes, and I said, dude, I said, I don't know about me, but you're getting this thing, man. You slayed that thing. You're getting it. If they don't have other guys, that's it. And he goes, well, I don't know. And I said, I know. I'll see you on the set. And
it
was the audition. That was the audition. And we showed up, and I saw him on the set, you know.
That's got to be exciting as heck, you know. There was actually two more questions I got. I know your time. It's funny, Ned, because, you know, there was a petition, and I don't know how many thousands of people wanted me to do a scene in there with robbing jewelry stores. That was my thing. I'm still known as the biggest jewel robber in the country. And it was funny because when I talked about your first thing when I started it, I said, what are they going through these lights for? You know, listen, you know, do a real robbery. Let's get points for this. Let's do this. I mean, let's make it a robbery. You want to do a robbery? I'll show you how to do a real robbery. And people started asking me. I said, wait a minute. I think I'm telling too many people I really robbed you. Two questions, Ned. Okay. Two last. One, I'm going to go right to it. How was it working on Red Dead Redemption? Because their numbers are still going crazy. And did you have a problem with Rockstar because of the, you know, the competition?
No. Well, no. Rockstar is Red Dead, so there was.
Well, I know, but meaning sometimes they don't bring a character from one game to another.
Well, they don't, you know, and at the time when they were shooting Red Dead, and I just had a little tiny part in it, at the time I was freaking broke, man. I almost had no money left. And so I called the director and said, hey, dude, can you get me something here? Is there anything I could do on Red Dead? I'll come in and do whatever, you know? And he's like, he checked and they were like, yeah. So I came in, and that's how Rockstar is, man. They're cool that way, man. They actually, you know, people think they don't take care of their, some people think they have like bad reputation with actors. Fuck that, man. They were awesome.
Gonna ask that too.
Yeah, so I went. They brought me in for that, and I did some non-playable stuff. I did some animations, you know, like just walking around, sitting around a campfire. But then I also had a character. He was a moonshiner, and I remember the director was very worried because he was afraid it was going to become. They didn't want it to be. Where's Michael? You know what I mean? Like, have this become, there's Michael in Red Dead, where's Michael? Which I understand is probably the reason why they don't use a lot of guys over again, is because they don't want it to be about that one. They want it to be about this one. And I worked with Roger Clark, I mean, who's the, you know, the lead character, Arthur Morgan. And I worked with Rob Weedoff. He was there. Everybody was there. And, it was funny because I did this voice like I was like this guy right here, and I had me a lisp, and it was a pretty good character voice, and I don't think anybody would have noticed that I was Michael. You know what I mean? It was good, and at least in my mind it was good. But the game comes out, right? And I'm playing that fucker, man, and then here comes the moonshine shit. And I'm there, and I'm all crusted up, you know, and stuff. And just, they had me hidden. But I knew it was me because I did a little something. The way I sat in the chair, the way I sat was my
sit. Oh, the way Michael sits.
Yeah, it was my sit. You know, it was my sit.
He does have a distinct. You do have a distinct nose, you know.
Right? Like, it's my nose. It's you know, eyes. And so I'm sitting there, I'm looking. They got this guy all gnarled up and stuff. And all of a sudden he speaks. And he sounds like a fucking accountant. And I'm like, the fuck is it?
They took my
voice out. Oh, I had that character voice, and they took it out. And I was like, I was so fucking pissed. I wasn't really pissed, but I was like, I was disappointed, to be honest. But they took my voice out, and I know why it was, because they didn't want it to be, well, it's Michael, you know. But they left me in the credits. So I'm in the credits, and the fans go, Ned Luke's
I didn't see you.
Ned Luke's in Red Dead. Who are you in Red Dead? And I go, like, they were coming at me on social media. Who are you in Red Dead? Where are you? What guy are you? And I just said, I just did a little two-word answer, or three words. It's a mystery.
Ah, people are looking for you then.
And now they're looking. So it turned into what it was anyway, because I couldn't say who, I didn't want to say who I was, you know, and have it become that, but it became that, you know, and it went on for a long time. People couldn't find me because they gnarled me up so much. And finally, some dude figured it out. He did a whole breakdown. He did a YouTube video that was like 20 minutes long.
You know, the internet will find it. Listen, I mean, I found that out. They will find it. Some little show. They don't give a shit. They'll find it. This is last question here that I want a personal thing with you. All right. I have to know. How was the suit, the tight suit on your balls?
Well, you know, when you're hung like a field mouse, it doesn't really matter.
It don't matter. Why don't I believe that?
No, it was fine, man. It was like wearing
spandex or something.
Yeah, you know, like leggings, like the leggings.
Yeah, I gotta breathe, man. I mean, I just
my boys need support.
No, mine need air.
Right? It's like the old Seinfeld. Okay, Seinfeld. It's like the Seinfeld episode where Kramer's worried about his sperm count because he's wearing tighty whities. You know.
Oh yeah, I remember that. And last one is what's your best and worst experience at, you know, like the Comic Cons or the con things, the meet and greets, you know. Was there anything that stands out like that?
No, I mean, you know,
I mean, all positive, no wackos. I mean, you get swatted. You know, things happen. I noticed.
Here's the thing about the Comic Cons. Like our fans. First of all, our fans, for the most part, 99.9%, are unbelievable. Mm. They're respect. They shake. Right? They meet you. They're shaking, and I don't understand it. I'm like going, dude. I'm a dude, man. I'm just me. You know, calm down. Here, give me your phone. We'll take a picture. You know, but we went out for sushi yesterday with my wife, right, and her sister, and we're at this place. I see these guys walking in, and they see me sitting there, and they're like eyeballing me, and you know, I'm you know, like you probably, you know, I'm looking at everything. I'm seeing everything that's happening. Because
I got eyes behind the back of my head.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I am. And my wife, they don't understand that. My wife and sister-in-law. But you know, you're on alert all the time. So I see these guys. So now we're leaving, and they come rushing up. And they're like, are you Ned Luke? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And I'm freaking trying to find a little lollipop to get after you have the sushi, right? And they're like, I knew it. I told you he was. And I'm like, you want to get a picture? Let's go. Took pictures. And my sister-in-law couldn't understand it. She's like, wait a minute. How did you guys know that was him? And they're like, we follow him. We're fans. We're, you know,
we
watch his live stream, you know, whatever. And people don't understand that. Our fans are amazing. Now, that doesn't mean that. You know, like these guys doing all the bullshit, I wouldn't consider them fans. Those are just assholes.
I agree. 100%. You know,
but in the Comic-Cons and stuff, man, it's amazing. Like, Solo and I just went to Brazil. And it was incredible. 300,000 people came through that Brazil game show, right? And wow. I bet you we saw 100,000 of them. And it was just like, we're judging this cosplay contest. At the end of it, they're rushing the stage to you know, get a picture or an autograph or just meet us, you know, kind of thing. And it's like this sea of people, but they're all so courteous. They're like waiting their turn, you know. It's not like somebody's going, get out of the fucking way, I got him, you know.
Yeah.
They're just waiting their turn, and we're trying to hit as many of them as we can, you know. And that's how our fans are, and that's how these Comic-Cons work for us, you know. Like, we'll do a panel, and there's never anybody going, you know, I got a question. why did you suck so bad?
No, yeah, listen, you know, if they're there, like, if they're there, and yeah. I just know that. And one, I want to thank you for this interview, and I want to grab at you for a second here. Ned, obviously, we're older guys in this game of YouTube and game of social media, you and me. And it's nice to see a guy like myself, older, that's having fun still, doing the stuff with this. Do you smoke cigars?
No, I don't.
But I'm still going to send you.
Send them. Oh, yeah.
The best box of...
But when I go golfing, I'll hand them out to my...
Oh, I'm a golfer, Ned.
Yeah, so I'll hand them out to my compatriot.
And I'm going to send you, Ned, this. This is a torch lighter. Watch this. Goes like this. It comes with these, beautiful, stuff like that. And it is, high end. We got a whole bunch of these.
That's
they
cool.
They go crazy. I want to send you stuff. So off air, I'll get you stuff.
All right.
Definitely going to go golfing, bud. I'm a golfer. I'm actually going Wednesday. Matter of fact, a couple of guys who work with me, the guy named Iz, he's a golfer. And, it's one of the great games and stuff we do.
It really is.
Get away.
It's a hard game, man.
I love the game, and I wish I didn't have a bad back. We're getting old, I can tell you that.
But I used to play all the time. When I was making money as an actor and living in L.A., and I was doing okay, I would play, two times, three times a week. I'd go out to the desert and play PGA West with one of my good friends, who was out there. And I got to where I was pretty good. But then when I with my son's a baseball player, he plays baseball in college, he's a pitcher. Mm. And I got into that and there was no time for golf anymore because it was baseball practice, workout, throw, go play games, hit, do all that stuff. So I didn't play golf. I literally didn't play golf for like 10 years.
Oh man. Ned, I got down to a 3 handicap. I was pretty good.
Oh man, that's good.
Blowing a few country clubs. Still get out there about 11, maybe 12. Now, I can't hit it anymore. But I enjoy it. I smoke cigars. I have little drinks. We bring a bottle of whiskey, so when you hit a birdie, you got it.
We
do the whole works. But,
you got to.
I look forward to, catching up with you. You and I having a couple of drinks going out.
When you're in Atlanta, let me know, buddy.
Listen, I go through there a lot. Matter of fact, I had people, my cousin used to live in Atlanta, Marietta.
Oh, sure, Georgia. Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Marietta.
Played a lot of baseball. I robbed a lot of baseball in Marietta.
Robbed the jewelry store there too, Ned. So.
They're what?
I know, I robbed the jewelry store in Marietta.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. Yeah. I bet you when you crashed through the doors, you went, ladies and gentlemen, this is your moment. Please don't make me look beautiful.
Kind of went.
Plastic surgeons have been doing.
Get out! No, hey Ned, I want to really thank you, man. We're gonna have this out. We're gonna put it everywhere. When I get off air, I'll get some links from you and address to send you some stuff.
Okay.
Also, what I'd love to do, like it says, is link everything you're doing up. I want to catch your live feed. Maybe I'll pop on with you. We'll see. We'll get my fans out there. We'll really hit it up. You're doing great stuff, man. And I love entertainment. Any entertainment.
Yeah, I love it. I do too, man.
People don't know how hard we work. And I think some do, of course. But
they don't know what a shitty business it is either.
Exactly. And they don't know.
They all think it's so glamorous.
The work, the dedication, everything you're doing. Yeah. I respect you a lot, Ned. I know how hard it is. I know how good you are.
It's a grind.
And you keep going through the grind. And I love that about you. I want to thanks, Ned, for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Larry. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Everybody, that's Ned Luke, GTA 5 Michael. I don't know if he's in 6.
Nobody does. It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. I got my thoughts. I got my stuff. Anyway, guys.
There's Miami right behind me.
Oh, my. That's my husband. That's my town. I'll be down
there. That's everybody's town, dude. That's everybody's town. South Beach, forget it.
Listen, I live here. I was in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
But. Have a great day, Ned. Thanks again, buddy. And everybody, stay safe, make good choices, and have fun. Take care, everybody.
Don't be stupid.
Yeah. Take care, Ned.